Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Ben and Luke Do a Podcast.
Hello, hello.
On the Hudson First podcast and on the app and YouTube, wherever you're watching this or listening to this. We're thanking you for hanging on with us. We're in the last message of the Daniel series. Very excited about that. So we're going to break that series down. Daniel in the lion's den. I asked the question this week. Mm-hmm. Was it Daniel in the lion's den, or was it actually the lion in God's den? Mm-hmm. The lion and Daniel in God's den.
Oh, yeah.
And so this sermon series, if you've been with us, if you haven't, let's just sum it up for you. The sovereignty of God. God is in control.
That's right.
No matter what, and you can trust him. And it's been great, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to dive in. But before we start, I want to do something a little different with you this morning. Maybe it's a blessing to you. Maybe it's not. I'm sure it will be. Because I was listening to this song a lot lately, and it's just a great song. It's called Holy Spirit Come by Patrick Mayberry. For copyright reasons, there you go. That's pretty who this is.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to this song together for just a minute and kind of pray through it.
Mm.
So good. So good. Hey man, I hope that song is a blessing to you. There's more to it, and it's a wonderful song. Go listen to it. But that's our prayer. Holy Spirit, come, fill our hearts.
Yes.
You know, flood our minds. And that's what this sermon series has been about, is following the lead of God. It is worth it to serve God. It is worth it to commit yourself to him, to the disciplines of Bible study and prayer and all the things that we need to do to be strong Christians, if you want to say it that way.
Yes.
It is worth it. That's our prayer for you and for us. I love that song. Yeah. If I got a little bit of pull, maybe we can sing that this week. If we might can put some pull in with our praise team on Sunday. Looking forward to that. We are going into a new series, just to plug that for a moment. This Sunday, it's a four-parter going through the month of November. We just finished a five-parter with Daniel in the month of October. And this one is, I would say this one's a piggyback sermon series, if you will. It's going to relate to it very well because, as you're going to see as we break it down today, it's already intertwined into this sermon series a little bit. But if I were to sum up this sermon series, it's called Enough is Enough.
Yeah.
And if I were to sum it up for why you would want to listen to it, I would say this. I would say that as a Christian, you are saved, you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are a child of the King. You are no longer of this world, but you are in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
yep.
you have the power of God. Yep. You have God himself living yep. in you.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, what we just heard. Yeah.
Holy Spirit, come.
Amen.
And so you want to live a powerful life. Yes. You want to see otherworldly things
mm-hmm.
as a result, fruit, if you will,
mm-hmm.
from your life. But yet, for some reason, there are times in my life and your life mm. when we describe them, they've been described as mountaintops, mm. valleys. You could say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times in our lives where we're on fire for God. And then there are other times when we're just messing up and not being able to live in that power of God and yes. leaning on our own selves and yes. leaning on other people more than God and trusting in other things more than God. It's the great challenge, isn't it? And so this sermon series is outlining four enemies of the soul
mm-hmm.
that hold us back from living this powerful life. And as we're covering those four topics, it's going to be great for us to understand it, because we're going to say enough is enough. Do you want to say enough is enough?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with this selfishness that robs me of the power of God.
Yes.
I'm done with the scars and the pains and the hurts of the past, message number two,
mm-hmm.
that are affecting me, whether I know that they're affecting me or not, but enough is enough. And number three is
spiritual warfare.
In sexuality.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
spiritual
yes.
warfare and sexuality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about God intended sex for mm-hmm. the marriage, and it's a beautiful and glorious and mm-hmm. awesome thing that we get, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
But yet it's been misconstrued because mm-hmm. we can't conquer it.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to that message. That's going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And then message number four is comparison.
Yeah, comparison, envy. And how that just destroys our view of self and our view of the goodness of God.
Yeah. And so that's all four of those enemies of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, message number one is self, which mm-hmm. is the root.
Mm-hmm.
The root of all sin is mm-hmm. our hearts and our selfishness. We are of a sin nature. We are living in a sinful world. But we have been brought out of that by Jesus Christ, but yet we still want to revert back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk through that this week. I'm really excited mm-hmm. to start the new sermon series, and I hope you'll be along. We'll be breaking those sermons down,
yeah.
too. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yes, it's almost like there's a war in the heart of a believer between the flesh and the spirit. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like the Bible. You know, I wonder if it says that anywhere in
maybe.
There. You know, maybe. You know,
I don't know. It's like the Bible is the yeah. word of God, living yeah. and breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah.
You know what I thought of whenever we were listening to the Holy Spirit song is it would be cool. Maybe one day we could do like song reacts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we could play a song and then think through it and just sort of
oh man
work yeah. through that song. That would be really cool.
That was a podcast idea I've already had.
Mm.
It's just, you know, do I have time to do it? But I love music. I love yeah. it a lot. And so yeah. It's a big part of my life. And so that song's been on my mind the last few days, and praise God for it. He brings songs to my mind, just like he brings scripture to my mind.
Amen.
And mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for godly songs. That would be fun.
Amen.
That'd be really fun. And get some other people's takes on some songs, too.
Oh,
maybe do
yeah.
some call-ins or something.
Yes,
we
yes.
can do that.
That'd be fun.
Maybe even host some of you who are listening and watching inside the studio here mm-hmm. with us as we are recording, too, and get your reaction to sermons and stuff mm-hmm. as well. There's a lot of places we could go with this.
Oh, for sure.
But for today, we are in the last message of the series. In the Lion's Den was the title of the series. So the first thing that Mac opens up with in this, let's just dive right in. He's talking about the fact that Daniel is old. We started with Daniel as a teenager and message number one and the history of Daniel. And here we are in chapter number six, just before all the prophetic things come out in Daniel and seven onward to the end. And Daniel is now older man. We could date him in his 80s here. Best of our capabilities, maybe, but
he's a gray-headed man.
Let's just say he's older man, mm-hmm. right? So he's talking about the fact that Daniel has always lived for God. It wasn't like Daniel went off the scene and disappeared into obscurity. He's been living his life faithfully for God by all accounts. And so from teenage years and all of the amazing things that he's done, just because he's not in front of the king, he's retired now, just because he's not in front of the king all the time, he's still living for God in retirement in this season, if you will, or this rhythm of his life.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about Daniel's character and that his character is in Jesus Christ. And he asks a question. So get ready for this.
Imagine your greatest weakness, your most glaring flaw, the point at which you could be brought down, is not some wrong that you've done or some sinful temptation that you might give into, but it was your unwavering commitment to God. Imagine that. I want that to be true of you. I want that to be true of me.
What if you were known for your unwavering commitment to God and not for that thing that you did or whatever it may be? What a statement.
Yeah. I just, you know, it just popped in my head that, you know, so these satraps and other leaders in Babylon are, they're just like scheming this plan, you know, to get Daniel. And I'm thinking, leave this 80-year-old man alone.
I mean, he's lived a good life, right?
Why are you going to pick on Daniel?
That's crazy.
You know?
And they're coming after him because of what Mac just said. Mm-hmm. They're coming after him because he has been unwavering and they don't like him.
Yeah.
They can't find anything on him. They can't go back and find a sexual harassment claim on him, is what Mac said in the sermon, or anything of that nature. There must have been something in his life that we could find, but yet all they found was faithfulness to God. So they attack him.
Mm-hmm.
With his faithfulness to God.
Yeah. I think this is a good reminder that we are not living in peacetime.
Mm.
We are in a war. We are in a spiritual war. And so there's never a point of neutrality in this world. You're not just going to live for God and not be attacked.
Yeah.
If you want to live for God, there's a reason Ephesians 6 says put on the whole armor.
Mm, that's good.
And so Daniel, in this case, is living for God. He's been living for God for a long time. And guess what? That's probably why the other kingdom is moving in these leaders of Babylon. We're going to take this guy down, even if it's the fourth quarter for him.
Right. Yeah, they still want to take him down. And I don't think Daniel was shocked by it.
Probably not.
You know?
You know?
Me and you, I can't speak for you, but I'd probably be like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I've served God. I'm retired now.
Yeah.
I've been a pastor for 30 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm retired now. I'm in my 80s. I just want to be in my camper at the campground. Leave me alone. But Daniel still stands. Still gets thrown in the lion's den because of his faith for God.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm speaking to anybody of any age right now, specifically to our elder friends and in the faith and in the faith family. God still using you.
Amen.
And he wants to use you, and you can be used. And I thought about that too as well. Right. Leave me alone.
That's right. Yeah, he's just doing his thing and living for God. And these guys are going to come at him and try to get him.
I mean, what if we were sitting there? I kind of want to say, how much more, God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much more? But his life was characterized, by sacrificial living for God, by denying himself and living for the Lord. And so that's why it's scary. I would want to immediately say, and I'm not saying he didn't question that. Like, why am I here again? He knew why he was there, but you know, in the flesh, we'd be like, why am I here yet again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've looked at a fiery furnace, you know, I've had to see this handwriting on the wall and think, well, the king's going to kill me if I interpret this because I'm going to tell him he's about to lose his kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm going to be thrown in the lions. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's what they come after him for, you know, because they're attacking him, but I think they're really attacking God.
Oh, yeah.
And the things of God, because that's what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
It's so against the things of God. And it's very evident if you look around in your life today. And so how they attack him is they try to get the king to set up an edict. By the way, the king loves Daniel still and knows who Daniel is. And that's very clear in the scripture and in this sermon. Mac brings it out. But they talk him into doing an edict where for 30 days no one can pray or bow to anything other than him or the kingdom, right? The physical kingdom.
Yep.
And so Daniel, then doing Daniel stuff, oh man, what does he do? He goes up to his house, leaves the window open, prays anyways. So Mac's talking about that here. Let's listen in.
Does that make you want to raise the question like, hey, couldn't Daniel have just cooled it for 30 days? I mean, couldn't he have prayed as usual, but just left his windows closed? I mean, in light of this decree, why not just go under the radar, play it safe, not stir the pot? It's only 30 days. And I don't know for sure, but I think if Daniel were here today and we could ask him, Daniel, what was the deal? Why couldn't you cool it for 30 days, just 30 days? I think his answer to us would be, why? Why would I ever compromise my conviction and my devotion to God? I think Daniel would say, to compromise with God at any point, even if it is to save your own skin, is to compromise with God at all points.
Ouch.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's some, quote, real talk. you know, and I think in that moment, if I was that person asking Daniel, you know, like, Daniel, why couldn't you just cool it, you know, and pray with the window closed, brother? You know,
pretty simple formula here.
And if he said, you know, why? I'm just gonna play the sort of, you know, enemy here and say, because they're gonna kill you. And Daniel, he might just look at me and say, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he might just look at me and say, okay. But at the end of the story, Daniel could have walked right back up to me and said, now, what was that?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, God showed himself to be powerful and to really put a spotlight on his man here and show his power. So, I mean, it's like, you know, like I said, I think we said this in the past podcast, you know, Daniel was a man of conviction. And I think he was brought to a place where he said, I can't stop doing what I'm doing. You know, he had to continue to pray like he was praying in his heart. That was just, that was going to happen. Even if it meant breaking a king's edict.
Yeah, Max said this, to compromise at any point with God is to compromise at all points. He thinks Daniel would have said that. And that's probably one of the hardest things I've heard in this sermon series is that right there. Because I think about what I would have probably done and what, more than likely, most of my Christian friends that I'm close with would be telling me to do.
Yeah.
You know, they'd probably be like, "Hey, man, why don't we just go and cool it here and pray in your house?" Well, that's not a big deal to me. I'm still praying.
Yeah,
I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah,
but it's just not living out loud my life now. That's why, to me, when he said that, I was like, "Man." You know, I've thought about that before. Why couldn't he just stop? But like you said, Daniel said, I can't stop. I'm a man of so strong of conviction that I can't stop, which goes back to Daniel's character. Yeah. Imagine your greatest weakness.
Yeah.
I'm going to confess, oh, man, my greatest weakness is not my ever-ending, dying devotion to God. You know, there are flaws in this life.
Yes.
You know, I want that though. I do. And that's, Mac will bring that up later in the sermon. You know, I hope that you want to live this life for God and you want to do great things in the power of God. I hope that you do. It's what he, I'm paraphrasing what he said. Mm-hmm. And I do. And you do. And I think everyone listening to this wants to. And I want that unwavering faith. But we know that circumstances come in and man, we just, it can send us in every which way or, you know, shape or form. Which brings up the next point about what Mac said. This is tough, dude, for me to digest. So let's think through what he says. He's expounding upon this.
You do not have to flaunt your Christian faith. In fact, Christianity is not a in-your-face, you-better-turn-or-burn kind of witness. But why compromise ever with God? Why compromise when you trust God? That's the kind of conviction, that's the kind of faith that it takes. So per God, you don't have to cool it, even if it's just for 30 days, okay?
I like what he said, but it's also hard for me to digest, Ben. I'm just going to be straight honest with you here. I grew up taught in a way of you need to be bold in your faith, you do. But I believed in a way that we are supposed to be living out loud our faith. You know, we're supposed to be in your face with our faith because that's bold faith. Now, in your face means different things for different people.
Sure.
And so to me, when Max said that, at first I was like, wait, did that contradict? Because he just said Daniel went up and lived and prayed in his room with the window open and he knows the edict.
Sure.
That's living out loud. And then he says, you don't have to live out loud your faith here. Again, I'm paraphrasing what he just said.
Sure.
But you don't have to do that. And I'm sitting there going, I've been taught all my life. I've heard people say it, and I understand what they're saying when they say this statement. Preach the gospel with your life, and if necessary, use words. I understand what you're saying, and you mean well when you say that.
Sure.
But that's wrong.
Right.
It takes words to do this.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean because living your life leads to the words. And I understand that because if you live your life as a Christian in front of other people, whoever they are, they're going to see that difference and the Holy Spirit's going to work in that and God's going to move in their life. And then when it comes to the point, you're going to have to use words. And so I think that statement can be qualified in certain situations by those people that are impacted by the way you live your life, but yet they may go talk. They may be impacted by the way Luke lives his life because they see him every day, but that may lead them to talk with Ben because they know Ben on the backside. So we can qualify that statement. It's not totally wrong. But I'm sitting here saying Daniel's living, exposed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's supposed to pray facing towards Jerusalem. As part of his obedience and following Yahweh. And so he's doing that. He's keeping the commandments the best way that he knows how. And what they're asking him to do for him, the way that he understands what God has commanded him is wrong. And I think he's doing, absolutely, I think he's right. Yeah. Of course, he's following what God has said. And for us, I think there is a sense in which, we live every day, and a lot of people hopefully see a difference in us in just the manner in which we live our life. Even if we're not going around, wearing a T-shirt all the time that says Jesus is Lord, on the back, repent and believe. We don't have to do that. But there are times, for sure, whenever we speak up and we share the gospel, or we stand for what God has clearly said is right, and stand against at times what God has clearly said is wrong, vocally and openly.
Yeah. Let's apply this to now. A lot of people say that the world's in the condition it's in, or the country is in the condition it's in because the church has been so lazy. I've heard that so many times. Or the church has been so complacent. Let's put complacency or comfort in there. The church has been so this, whatever adjective you want to use. But the country's in this situation because the church has just let them bowl over us, right? I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's true. But I understand what you mean when you say that statement, because I agree with Mac when he says Christianity is not a turn or burn lifestyle in and of itself. So the statement was hard for me to digest, but it's not that I disagree. It's right. because of how I think about things, because, you know, I was one of those that heard a lot of hellfire and brimstone preaching. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But, you know, I heard my pastor, my home pastor, told me, we were talking about this and about hell and preaching on hell and those types of things. And he was like, you know, you don't want to scare people into heaven. If you can scare them in, you can scare them out. And I thought that was really good. I'm paraphrasing what he told me because I don't remember the exact conversation, but it stuck with me.
Yeah.
I give him a shout out. Alan Carr, sermonnotebook.org. Dude's an amazing preacher. That's my home preacher. I love him so much, and I love to listen to him preach. He was talking about, you know, we don't want, why try to scare people into heaven? There's so much more to it than being scared of going to hell. I think that's part of it. I grew up being scared of going to hell because I heard so much preaching on it. There are other people who are Christians who have a totally different testimony than I do. They didn't get scared of hell. They wanted fulfillment in life or something of that nature.
Yeah.
But it all works together to live this Christian life.
Yeah.
And so I thought about when he was saying that and the condition of the country right now and this statement that I'd mentioned about, you know, the country's in the position it's in because the church is complacent or comfortable or whatever. I think there's some merit to that because standing up and being bold for God is standing up and voting your convictions from God.
Yeah,
it absolutely. Is. I think the church should be, I mean, Christians should be, not the church, but Christians should be involved in politics. God is raising up Christian people to be involved in leadership positions. Praise God for that. I think we should stop complaining about our politicians more than we pray for them because we've been commanded to pray for them. But yeah, I complain more about them than I pray for them because God is still in control of this thing. And that's the message that that the book of Daniel's about.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is in control.
Yes.
More so than the kingdom of America or the kingdom of China or Russia or whatever it is, God is in control. And so if we're thinking through this lens, then yes, this living your life for God is a conviction, a deep conviction that you will not. What if every Christian had this conviction of Daniel, right? And when the king made the edict, they had to take thousands of people to the lion's den.
Right, yeah.
Would we do that is the question. That's why it's the hardest thing for me to digest. That was the hardest question of the sermon series. To compromise at any point is to compromise at all points with God. And that's resonated in my mind.
Yeah, and I just think about Daniel and his situation. I am sure he's in his 80s. He has seen people go to the lion's den before.
Yes.
He's probably heard people being taken, people being thrown in. He's heard a lion roar from the den before. And so all of that has got to be cruising through his mind and heart whenever he knows what the decree is. He's aware of it whenever his knees hit the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Man.
But yeah, he still does it.
He still does it. And so
what we're saying here and what Mac was saying in the sermon and what went through my mind and what I had to work out in my own life, this is why we're doing this podcast, is that living for God is not compromising your relationship with God for anything else.
Yeah. And just to think about it's weird to think the greatest act of bravery for Daniel, one of the greatest acts of bravery that he did was pray.
Pray.
Wow.
Yeah, that's deep. I mean, it's really thought provoking.
Yeah.
And we could talk about this for hours, but we're going to move on because we got two other big things to talk about. But man, God help us not to compromise our faith for anything, or compromise our relationship with you for anything. And that's our goal. So as we come to the next clip, the king has delivered the edict, and I've already alluded to this, that he loved Daniel.
Yeah.
And Darius. He didn't realize he was being tricked.
Yeah, Darius is a big fan of Daniel.
He is. And God he brings up a point that godless people are at the mercy of their godless worldview. I thought this was really good.
Yeah.
Godless people who live by godless values, even the good ones, godless people are at the mercy of their godless worldview and their godless ways. Once you leave God's ethics and reject his ways and you choose your own, there's a lot of collateral damage in your choices. You're at the mercy of your worldview.
Man, that's crazy.
I feel like every week there's a moment where we're like, whoa. But like, I'm thinking through what he's saying, and it's so true. It doesn't matter how good people are or how much of how great of philanthropists and they are in the world.
Yeah.
They're at the mercy of their worldview.
Yeah. I mean, you think about today, just so we know, because some people might need this term, like worldview, sort of spelled out a little bit. A worldview, an easy way to remember that is exactly what it sounds like, your view of the world. And so the best way that I've heard to think about it is imagine that you put on some blue sunglasses and you open your eyes and you're looking around and everything is tinted blue. But if you put on red sunglasses, then the same thing happens. Everything looks red. Well, take that picture, that mental picture in your mind, and just apply it to beliefs that we hold. And so, and a good example is, imagine that you think everything that happens is completely determined, meaning that it can't happen any other way. Well, next time that someone, you know, cuts you off on the highway, it's not that they chose to do something wrong. It couldn't have happened any other way.
Mm-hmm.
It was determined to happen. And so what kind of consequences does that have on the way that you think about just that little event? And so in Daniel's situation, he's in a land that's full of idol worship and false gods. And so that's where Darius finds himself. That's where the leaders, the satraps and all that are. And so Darius now is in this weird sort of quagmire where he actually likes Daniel. But now he has put Daniel in a situation that Daniel is going to pray, and then his own words, the king's own words, his own signature is going to be used for something that he really, really doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a tough spot for him. He's at the mercy of the worldview that his entire country is based off of. And now he's going to have to, I might be using this phrase wrong, but eat crow. Is that the right words for it? I don't know what that means, but he's going to have to he's put his foot in his mouth now, because he's going to have to watch his friend, if I can go that far, with his relationship with Daniel, and his own mind be executed.
Yeah.
He's going to say some stuff like, "May your God deliver you." But those lines are hungry.
Yeah. So you're either in one of two positions in your life. Mm-hmm. You're either in the mercy of your worldview,
mm-hmm.
or if you're a believer,
mm-hmm.
you are at the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And let me reassure you, believer, that at the mercy of God,
mm-hmm.
you're actually in the grace of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And you live in the grace of God. You are not at mm-hmm. the mercy of this world or your worldview.
Yeah.
You're at the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And that's living in the grace of God and living for God, the one who created you, the one who made you to be who you are, and living your life for him, which means living life, and as Jesus put it, life more abundantly.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the good person and the godly person.
Yeah.
That's the root of it.
We're so blessed in living in America because we drink and breathe very fundamental beliefs that are based upon a Christian worldview. At least up, we still do to some degree, to a large degree right now, but those fundamental beliefs are being questioned as time moves forward.
Yeah. Well, in that vein, Mac brings up a point about moral clarity, and he defines it very briefly about what moral clarity is, and he states that it comes up a lot now in because when war is going on, moral clarity, you know, who's right, who's wrong. Mm-hmm. In our current context, in this war between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, you know, a lot of people are coming up across the world saying Israel's wrong for retaliation in this statement because it's not theirs anyways. There's a who's right, who's wrong, moral clarity. He uses that example, but this is what he talks about.
The most basic understanding of moral clarity is this. It is the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. And from the perspective of a Christ follower, it means choosing what God has said is right and refusing or at least acknowledging what God has said as wrong. Not the philosopher's opinions, not the politician's opinions, not the company's HR department's opinions, and not even my own heart, but what God has revealed as right and wrong. That is moral clarity. And in today's version of Christianity, we're suffering in this area because there's a lot of ambiguity in the way that Christians are approaching issues in our culture. There's a lot of both-sidedness on issues. We're accepting things that God has forbidden.
Man, yeah, this is so important. And I don't think we will ever, I hope we never stop preaching it, stop teaching it, saying it. Every believer needs to get into the Word of God and have a regular digest of God's Word. If you want moral clarity, you need to get in the Word. It's not enough to show up at church when the doors are open, or to even, you know, show up at good Bible studies. You really need to be in the Word yourself to study it out. Are you going to make mistakes? Absolutely, you'll make mistakes. I did. I'm sure Luke has in studying the Word and come up with something, and it's like, oh, man, you know, and later on I find out I was wrong about that. But you grow. Mm-hmm. You get better. Just like with anything else, the first time you got on a bike, I'm sure you wrecked. I'm sure you caught yourself from falling several times, just like that with the Bible. But the only way that you're going to have moral clarity that is rooted and grounded in God is by getting in His Word. And so that's just, I think it's so important.
That's very true.
And then you'll know whenever someone says, well, you know, maybe it's the more quote-unquote loving thing to do X. You'll be able to know what is the more loving thing to do because it will be rooted in God's Word, and God is love. He defines what love is. 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. And so the way that we get moral clarity is by looking at the revelation that God has given us.
That's our worldview.
Absolutely.
Because we believe that God is creator of all things, that He sustains all things, and that he created all human beings in this world, that he created everything else in, separately from everything, above everything, to have the ability to relate to him in his image, to know him, walk with him, and understand what moral clarity is, to understand how to live your life. You can live your life for your purposes and for your plans, and you could have a good life according to the moral standards of the world that we live in, which we live. But if you do things God's way, it will go better for you.
Absolutely.
And it may not look like it in this life is the hard part.
Yeah.
But it will look like it in eternity.
Yeah.
And why give up your blip? Like, you are eternal. Everyone is eternal.
Yeah.
And why give up this little blip that you're alive in this body, in this flesh, in this identity for yourself? And then that be it. That be the end all be all.
Yeah.
When you live in light of eternity. That is what guides my moral clarity in knowing the word of God. And that's a, that's a really good point. So why is modern Christianity suffering in this area? It's because people live for themselves. Yeah. People live for cultural relevance. People live for acceptance or comfort even. No, let's not stir the pot. Let's not go up there and open the window and pray to God Almighty, Yahweh. Let's not go pray to the one true God with our windows open, because if we do, we might be executed.
Yeah.
Let's go not stir this pot.
Yeah.
And so the question is that came to my mind in this moment of reflection in the middle of the sermon that it always does is, has it ever been required of you, of me, to live for my faith? Not to say I'm a person of faith or I'm a believer, but has it ever been required of you to live for your faith, like Daniel was doing?
Yeah.
And that's a hard question, because that to me is above a reasonable expectation of living for God, right? It's not just I got saved so I can go to heaven and I'm going to do the best I can now and I'm going to be a good Christian, which is a great thing. I pray that you're saved, right? I pray that everybody is saved and by the grace of God, living for the Lord. And but it's more so living your life for him. And that being said, what then is a reasonable expectation of faith, of living in faith? What is a reasonable expectation of living in faith?
I think the only way you'll answer that question is what we just said. It's the word. It's getting into the word. You know, what did our Lord say about that? You know, what is his reasonable expectation? That's Romans 12, a reasonable act of worship. And so, so that would be a good question to ask and put on the table.
So, shamelessly plugging the sermon this Sunday, we're going to talk about what's the base reasonable expectation of a person of faith. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like the nice and gentle Jesus that you hear about sometimes.
I know.
You know?
You know, the Jesus that people paint he's on photos inside of our churches.
Yes.
You know, the beautiful, kind Jesus, right?
He would never hurt anybody's feelings, would he?
No, he wouldn't. He would never do anything like that because he was so loving. You know, everyone just loved Jesus. Did you read the word? Yeah. Did you read? Now, I don't think Jesus went looking. And that goes back to what Mac said. He did not, in certain instances, he did. In the temple when he turned over the tables. You know, in certain instances, he did. But it wasn't like he walked around the earth seeking out confrontation, because confrontation found him.
Oh, for sure it did.
Just like confrontation found Daniel, because he was totally committed to God. And so the reasonable expectation then is to follow him, which means live in the character and in the steps, if you will, literally, of Christ. So we're talking about that on Sunday during this first message on self. So Mac then goes and sums up the entire sermon series in this sermon. I really like the way he did it. He's bringing it all to a close. And it's his last point of the sermon, if you will.
Sure.
But he brings up what we've been talking about week in and week out. Let's listen to it, respond to it, and wrap up the Daniel sermon series, Draw the Line.
All right.
When Daniel needed God the day he was in this crisis, the God that he already knew was there for him. And I hope that you've seen from Daniel's life this reality. This is all worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it for you to live for God all the time, and it is worth it for you to live for God for all of your life. It is worth it for you to live for Him all the time and to live for Him for all of your life. It is worth it. In this story, we've seen the fall of the great Babylonian Empire. No one could take down the Babylonian Empire except God. Now we've seen the rise of the Persian Empire. It'll be the world's power for a little more than 100 years, and it too will fall. And this one that we live in, it will fall too, because only one kingdom remains forever, and it is the kingdom of God. And God's people remain forever with Him. And so when we choose, we should choose Him.
It is worth living for God all the time and for all of your life. Why? Because only one kingdom will stand.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, you believe that and you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is always, God has always transcended kingdoms. Following the Babylonians, the Persians come in. The Persians fall after 100 years. Another kingdom comes in. Another kingdom. Another mm-hmm. kingdom. The Roman kingdom, the great and mighty Rome,
mm-hmm.
stands for hundreds of years, then falls drastically. The same thing will happen to all nations.
Yes.
All countries. This last little brief modern period of the world with a United States in it, with a the current situation of where Russia is, not formerly the Soviet Union.
Yes.
China rising to power. All of these kingdoms are still under the authority of God.
Yes.
Therefore, if you understand that, your life, in the middle of all of that,
mm-hmm.
is still under the authority of God.
Yeah.
And so, I agree. It's yeah. worth it. It's worth Absolutely. It to serve God.
Yes, we have a king. His name is Jesus. And it's interesting, you know, think about it's worth it. It's worth it to live for God all of our life. You know, and that sometimes that means suffering. And Paul says, you know, this present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us.
Amen.
Not worthy to be compared. And, you know, sometimes I wish that I could just get a glimpse of that. But it's interesting that when we think about that, that Daniel is one of the places in the Old Testament where you have this this picture of a future resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, man. You know, because that's not spread like all over the place in the Old Testament. It is progressively revealed, and it comes to, of course, a climax in Jesus. But Daniel sees it in his visions where he sees like, oh, man, this is going to be something wonderful, something great, and the judge of all the earth will do right.
Sometimes it's hard to live because we live by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to live in this world and keep that perspective through every situation that you're going to face today or tomorrow or even next week or later on in your life. All of the situations and experiences that we will go through. But I can attest, because I believe, that it is worth it to live for God, no matter what the cost would be in mm-hmm. this world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cost in this world is not worthy to be compared to the mm-hmm. reward in heaven.
Yeah.
So it boils down to, in your life, do you want to be a Daniel? Do you dare to be a Daniel?
Yeah.
Then you need to see God for who He is.
Yeah.
You need to see Him right now. mm-hmm. for who he is. He's in control. He created all of this. He can end all of it when he wants.
Yeah.
He can. He's the only one who can give you this life eternal with him, which is not even going to compare to the great life that a lot of us get to live now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not even worth this little, this is measly compared to eternity with God. Mm-hmm. And keeping that perspective is keeping the faith. And keeping the faith is following Christ. And that is what we have to challenge ourselves to do every single day and wake up and do.
Amen.
And that's what came to me through this sermon series. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that God sent it our way.
Amen. Yes, God is in control and he is faithful.
Amen.
Daniel has been really good, a really good sermon series. I'm excited about what's on the cuff here as what's coming up with these enemies of the soul. I think it can be a healing and a refreshing series for a lot of people, including myself. And it's really cool. Me, you, and Mac will have a part.
Yeah,
in this series, and it's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so you get to hear us break it down behind the scenes and preach it too.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to it. We'll see you on the opposite side of the first sermon, breaking down the self, the first enemy of the soul. God bless you. We hope to see you next time. Go in the presence of God. Walk Amen. Boldly in your faith. Because God is in control of everything. You see all of the things going on around you. He's still in control. Believe that.
Amen.